This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
After the cross, it was not about your performance. After the cross, it was all about His performance, which He did a great job, and me believing Him. How do I get saved? I believe Jesus Christ. Yeah, but don't you have to do something? What you gonna do? What are you gonna do? And it'll end up being phony, and it'll end up being fake. What do? You believe Jesus Christ.
The Mentality Men's Conference is back. On September 8th through 9th, we are breaking free from the world's definition of manhood and embracing the men God created us to be. Join men from all over the world for the 2023 Mentality Men's Conference. You don't want to miss this free conference. Text MENTALITY to 51555, scan the QR code on your screen, or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and register now.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that means to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. And, you know, this is a story about Paul and Silas. You remember the earthquake came and the jailhouse doors opened and the guard was freaking out. He's like, man, they're going to kill me for sure. And he asked this question. He brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Yeah. All right? Similar to, what do I need to do to have eternal life? And listen to the answer. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. He said, that's the only thing I want you to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And if your house believes on the same way, then they shall be saved. But that's not enough, because when you're conditioned into this self-performance mindset, believing the Lord Jesus Christ is not enough. It's just, I got to do something. You don't believe God. If you believe God, He'll give you, He'll lead you, He'll show you on the things you need to do. Just put first things first, believe God. After the cross, it was not about your performance. After the cross, it was all about His performance, which He did a great job, and me believing Him. How do I get saved? I believe Jesus Christ. Yeah, but don't you have to do something? What you gonna do? What are you gonna do? And it'll end up being phony, and it'll end up being fake. What do? You believe Jesus Christ. See, people don't go to hell for bad doing, and they don't go to heaven for good doing. Doings are no longer factored in. You go to heaven or go to hell based on whether or not you believed and received Him as your sin sacrifice and the ransom paid, or you denied Him. If anybody in here goes to hell for what you do, everybody going to hell. We go to heaven because we believe Jesus Christ and have accepted Him as our Lord and personal Savior. So why do you have those two extremes? Because they don't understand, people don't understand the difference between what happened before the cross and what happened after the cross, and you're still stuck in something that is no longer valid. Scripture says it over again, no longer valid. Why? The better has come. Why? Because after the cross, you can be born again. Before the cross, you could not be born again. There's no Holy Ghost living in anybody before the cross. That was the most powerful thing when divinity decided to move into humanity for the first time. It never happened before. You're talking about people who have never experienced what we get to experience after the cross, divinity, the presence of God moved in me. He lives in me. There it's no comparison to nobody. The law and the prophets ended. Apologies, am I getting too excited? Number three, let's look at forgiveness and unforgiveness. This is huge. I see this one all the time. Under the old covenant, before the cross, you must forgive others or God can't forgive you. Before the cross, you must forgive others or God can't forgive you. Look at Mark 11, 25 and 26 and Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Mark 11, 25 and 26 and then Matthew 6, 14. Now, again, pay attention to that if thou. When a condition is required of your performance, you automatically know you're before the cross. Look at this. And when you stand praying, forgive. Now, please, let me qualify what I'm about to say. It's never good to hold on to unforgiveness. It's painful and harmful and hurtful to hold on to. So that's not what I'm saying. You need to figure out how to do that, but you're going to need some help in doing that. Look what he says. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you, there it is, it's requiring a condition of performance. If you have aught against any, that your Father also heaven, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, watch this, if you, see, the law is based on a blessing and a curse. So what are the things you're doing in your Christian life that's based on you getting blessed if you do it right, you get cursed if you do it wrong? Because you're operating on the before the cross principle. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. That freaked me out. I'm like, what? You're saying how you treat me is based on how I treat others? I heard that all my life. Now, it's not good to treat other people. God's very concerned about how we treat other people. But you don't go to God and say, well, you know, God's a parent just like I am. No, he's not. He's God. You ain't. Excuse me. Improper English. The Queen's English says you are not. No, man. And I had an issue like, wait a minute. You're God. I'm frail. You said I can't do without you. I'm a branch. And now you're telling me that if I don't do something, you're going to hold this against me? And I'm thinking, so I'm scared now. So I'm like, every time something happened, that would be a part of my checklist. Have I forgiven anybody? Even on some confessions, when you're confessing your healing, and there were some people that said, all right, Lord, I come before you and I forgive everybody so I can be healed. I remember doing that. I'm sick and it's not working and I got to make sure I forgive everybody. And you think you really did it while you were opening your mouth. You really didn't do it. And I had preachers, great, great preachers say to me, well, the reason why she died in unforgiveness, and that's what killed her. And I'm like, that is just not right. Or say stuff like, you know, the little baby died, and then the little baby died, and then you say, well, we didn't have enough faith. That was wrong. There's just something so wrong with that. I didn't know what it was at the time, but there's something wrong with you going and tell a parent that your baby died because you didn't have enough faith. I'm like, dude, I can't do this no more. I can't do this. This is not making. I'm starting to look at God, and say, I don't know. You know, I was working day camp years ago. I was a freshman year in college, and that was a summer job. And there was a kid that drowned under my watch. I was the director over the day camp, and the kid drowned. And I felt so bad. And I did a little dumb stuff, like I went into the kid's room while he was on all of the stuff, and man, and I stood for his bed, and I said, oh, God, take my life and let him live. And come on, God, take my life and let him live. And then he died. And I went into a three-day period of, I don't know if I want to do the Christian stuff. I think I want to be an atheist because you're not real. You let this kid die, and I told you to take my life and take his and let his come and do what he needs. And I just thought, I don't know about this. I said, I'm praying, fasting, I'm doing everything. Everything they told me to do, I'm doing it. And he died. Whew. The guy who led me to the Lord called. He said, they got a meeting downtown. There's a special speaker coming in from Africa. I think it'll make you feel better. You want to go? I said, dude, I said, I don't know about the little God stuff. I'm not interested. He called back. He says, okay, I'll make a deal with you. Just go with me this one time. I really feel like you need to be there. And, you know, after that, I'll leave you alone. I said, okay, you promise? Don't call me, don't come by, leave me alone, because I don't want to do the God thing no more. I was getting ready to be a hellion, and I'm going to go hurt people who I've been wanting to hurt since I've been saved. So I went, he came, picked me up, went down, came in the room with an attitude, big attitude, like, it's Christian, man, this stuff don't work. Sat down, and the guy said, there's a man in here who's mad at God because somebody died. And the Spirit of God, I'll never forget, the Spirit of God spoke to me to tell you that that little boy knows more about God than you'll ever know until you get there. And he says, it's a trick. It is Satan that's trying to destroy and to steal your life because of the mighty calling that you have. And I hit him, I said, why you tell this man what was going on with me? I said, I can't believe you did that. I came in, you probably know him. He said, dude, I ain't never seen this man before in my life. I got up and went out and went down in the parking lot, and it was like the light came on. I was like, oh, man. Oh, man. And then I realized, I'm like, that's the devil. You tried to deceive me like that? I said, I don't like that. You tried to deceive me? And I heard this little voice, you want to get him back? I said, yeah. I didn't realize I was hearing from God. You want to get him back? Yeah. He said, then act more like me. Yes. I confirmed my life to Jesus Christ. Weird things started happening. I think you were there when I got baptized by the big old Stan guy, this big old prophet. He was a big dude, took me in the pool. I just was having a hard time believing anything. The guy baptized me in water, and I came up, and then he started prophesying, and he prophesies everything that I am operating in today. Wait a minute. But when he prophesies it, I laughed. I'm like, man, you got to be crazy. I ain't going to be talking in front of people like this. I said, there's no way that's going to happen. I am. I'm sorry, bro. You missed it. And he didn't. And it started happening. That religion, self-righteousness, performance, it almost got me. Because I thought God was doing all this. I thought it was God that was killing people. And I found out that he didn't come to kill, steal, and destroy. But he came that I might have life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Look at Matthew. Matthew, I think it was 6:14-15. And I'm like, this isn't God, man. And I start realizing, this isn't God. God doesn't do that. Yeah, but it's in the red. I don't care what color it is. It's not God. But at one time, they had me convinced. It's in the red. You better do it. Somebody said, I just read the red and do what it says. And I'm thinking, you're probably a messed up person. And I'm like, you don't believe all the red? Because it talked about cutting off hands and stuff. And I know you done did all that stuff Jesus was talking about. Because he made it virtually impossible for anybody to live without sinning. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though you walk around trying like it, you ain't. A bad attitude is a good cover for the sin that you have in the bad attitude. For if you, there it is again, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Watch this. I got to forgive. I got to forgive. Why? So my heavenly Father can forgive me. I got to forgive. I got to forgive. So my heavenly Father can forgive me. It moved me into performing. Now watch this. Next verse. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I was like, what is wrong with that? What is wrong with that? And what is wrong with that is that was absolutely true before the cross. Right. But after the cross, Jesus did something different. Yeah. Look at Ephesians. Now, here's what it was after the cross. Here is the rightly dividing you got to do, or you're going to lead people astray. You're going to have to stand before God. See, the problem is not in the congregation. It's in the pulpit. It's ignorant people who've been ignorant preachers who think they know it all, and they have stopped growing, and now they're spreading that same thing on church, and you're raising up this monster. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind one to another. Yeah. Be tenderhearted. Yeah. Forgive one another. Oh, here we go again. How do I do this? He said, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So what God says is, I'll forgive you first so I can equip you to be able to forgive others. I require nothing of you first in order for me to do something. I'm going to change the order after the cross, and it's what I do first that's going to equip you to be able to do it second. Rather than you having to forgive first and then I forgive you later. No, I am going to do it first. It's just like 1 John 4, we'll see in a minute. You love God because He first loved you. If you're still struggling trying to love God because you hadn't realized that He first loved you, equipping and enabling you to do what you could not do before. Look at Colossians chapter 3:13. Colossians chapter 3:13, forbearing one another, yeah. Forgiving one another, yeah, absolutely. He says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you first, so you also in addition do the same. It's what He did for me first. The order changed after the cross. It's Him, it's what He does first, enabling and equipping us to be able to do second. But before the cross, it was what you had to do first in order to get Him to be able to do something second. That changed. That changed. You have to rightly divide that, or you will put people in such bondage that Satan will hop on that thing and just ruin people's lives. I've seen it happen. I've seen people who used to be very faithful to God, they just quit. Some guy got up there and said, you know, God did that. That's His fault. Yep, and it's really your fault. And now you walk away condemned. Somebody says, well, you know, shame is a hard thing. Yeah, but you know where most people are getting their shame from? Their big dose of shame? At church. You come to church and you get a big old dose of shame. Y'all ought to be ashamed of y'allself for not coming out to the church picnic and being a part of what we need to do. You've been ashamed of yourself. We had 7 players with baseball, and you... I ain't come here to get no shame, bro. I already got enough problems. I'm not here to get no more problems. And the little preacher think that, you know, he's anointed to do that. And then, you know, the prophets come out and say, well, you know, in order for you to get anointed, I got to do something for you to be anointed. Since when? Seriously? Yeah, you treat the prophet wrong, you'll fall dead. Yeah, that was before the cross. We have a more sure word of prophecy, and there's still the ministry of the prophet, but not to threaten and put fear into people. That was before the cross. But there's still some people teaching it just like it is today, because they don't rightly divide the word of truth. All right, what about love? Ooh, what about the love? What about love? Before the cross, it was love God first with everything. The emphasis was always put on your performance and your effort to love God first. Look at Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. Love God first with everything. I mean, I bought this. I wrote two books on this, boy. Some of the stuff good, but I'm like, wow. It's like this big part I didn't get. Watch this. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now, watch this now. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's the first commandment. Well, see, first of all, I'm trying to tell you about the commandments. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Yes, yes, amen. With all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first. The first. Not the third. The first commandment. Watch this. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Have no problem with that commandment. That is something that we operate in deeply right now. The issue I have is under this, before the cross, the pressure to do this is all on me. And there have been some egregious things to happen in the lives of people. And they're like, love that guy that raped me brutally. Love the guy that killed my relative and left him in the trunk with no clothes on. Love, I ain't there yet. I don't know if I'll ever get there yet. And then I thought, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And I'm thinking, let's be honest, I love God, but not with all my heart. I got Taffy in there and some other people in there, and he don't have it all. Love the Lord with all your soul. Oh yeah, I love him with my soul, but my soul's got some, he's sharing it. With all your mind, oh, I know I ain't loving him with all my mind. Sometimes he got to get my attention just to get my mind back on him. I mean, I'm being real, right? Loving with all thy might, which includes your wealth. Well, I still got some money in savings. I ain't loving him with all my might. I give him 10% of that might, but I ain't loving him with all my might. No, not all my might. And I asked myself, I laughed because I thought I was actually doing this. I'd get up in the pulpit and say, I love the Lord with all of my heart and all of my soul. Thank ya. I better stop before I pull somebody out of place. All my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all of my might. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. And then soon as the church is like, would I cuss you out, man? And and then I asked, I'm like, who can do this? I said, seriously, who can do this like this? Yeah. And I heard, Jesus did. I said, well, who else? I said, I can't. But you know, I ain't tell nobody I can't, because I thought everybody, all the other Christians, I thought they were. Right. And they thought they were. And so I ain't say nothing, because I didn't want nobody to know that I wasn't. So I just, when they say, I love the Lord with all their heart, I say, yes, amen, yes, all. And on the inside, it was just like this little, them little two, little, the devil's little side and the angel's side. That devil was like, you know you lying. And see, this time the angel said, you do know you lying, right? I'm like, whose side you on? So that was before the cross. You guys know, that is still there. You hear that all the time about how much they love God. And brag on it, oh, I love God. I love the Lord, he heard my cry and pity that he throne. As long as I live in trouble rise, I'll hasten to thy throne because I love him. I love him. I love him. Woo-hoo-hoo. I love him. Sing about it. They do all kinds of things. And it's not the truth. You didn't do this. The only way you can even do this right, you don't even have the capacity to do this. That's what the law was all about. Giving you rules and regulations he knew you couldn't accomplish. The law was given for you to fail.
Do you feel like you're just working the mechanics of Christianity? Do you want to know what it really means to know Jesus? In his series, The Essence of Grace, Creflo Dollar reveals the person and mission of grace in the life of believers. Order this 3-message series today for a gift of $20 or more for CDs or $30 or more for DVDs. Simply call the number on your screen, scan the QR code, or visit CrefloDollarMinistries.org and click eStore today.
Have you accepted your invitation to Grace Life Homecoming? Meet Creflo and Taffy Dollar at the World Dome, July 13th through 15th in College Park, Georgia. You know the lineup: Clarence McClendon, Gregory Dickow, Michael Smith, Mimi Haddad, and special musical guests Ty Tribbett, William Murphy, and just added to the lineup is JJ Hairston. There's something for everyone. You don't want to miss this in-person only celebration. Register for free now.
Creflo Dollar Global Missions helps people all over the world receive healing and wholeness in every area of life. For example, we help those in need in our communities, those trapped in the sex entertainment industry, and children in orphanages and refugee camps. When we meet the physical needs of those hurting people, it gives us the opportunity to share the gospel of grace with them. So I want to thank you for helping us reach millions with the gospel.
Log on to our website at missions.creflodollarministries.org to see all the work we do at Creflo Dollar Global Missions. Thank you for your support.
Look no further for encouragement to walk in the grace of God. The Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app provides rewarding content that is sure to nourish your mind and soul.
He is the God of miracles. All it takes is a mustard seed of faith. All it takes is for you to believe and dare to stand and dare to trust God.
Treat yourself to enriching messages from Pastor Dollar on grace and walking in the likeness of Christ.
God has already given you His Son and told you He'll give you everything else. He don't need you to try to exchange something to try to get something. All He wants is your complete dependence on Him. Respond to me and show me that you depend on me.
Download the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app on your Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, and streaming devices today to stream messages of hope, grace, and understanding when you need them most.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.